Hello, Cleveland, and welcome back to the Dogland Podcast. It is draft week. I am Jackson McCurry, no Anthony Jokey, but we got a ton of content on deck for you guys this week as we get things rolling here on draft week. Even though the Browns only have six picks, even though they don't have a first round pick, we will have you guys ready and we will break it all down for you guys once the NFL draft takes place this coming week. But on tonight's episode, it is draft week, and we can't do it without the visionary, the tribal chief, the wise man of the draft, our buddy Alex Hale. Alex, what's going on, brother?
Yeet.
How are you, man?
Dude, I mean, oh my God. This week, man, I go from one draft into another
Yes.
within a span of 2 weeks. Just, gosh,
A
dang
big
it.
one big draft to another big draft.
One that I actually am heavily invested
Yes.
in, the other one I have no stake in whatsoever. I just love it.
Yes.
And
Love the NFL draft.
yeah, and then my whole business is just booming. It's just booming like it's never been before. It's insane. For those of you who don't know, I proudly work in the WNBA, and I just want to say, guys, the explosion's real. For most of you in Cleveland, I do want to say this. Cleveland got a lot of ton of good reviews. The league sees you, and that's all I can say from there is that just for those of you who say some certain things, just my encouragement is just keep saying it. Keep saying it. The more you say it, the more times it's said. Maybe one day. I don't know when that's gonna be, but you never know. You
Do
never know.
you mean it's gonna rise from the ashes?
Maybe. Who knows?
Let
I'm
me
not
know.
saying anything insider-like because it was on a list of cities
Yeah.
that was named publicly. All I'm saying is, Cleveland, you did an outstanding job with the Final Four. The league was there. They were impressed. Good job. Props to you. I obviously can't predict the future. I don't know anything other than, the city was set on the list. So it's
Yeah.
like, okay, cool. That's awesome. So props to you, Cleveland. If that's something you want to be a part of this explosion, keep talking. Keep talking. That's the most I'm going to say about that right now because, I mean, dude, this whole week, I wish people could see the week we just had with our team. And that's just one team. You should see around the league. I wish people could see this. Really proud to be a part of women's sports. Really being part of really the revolution of it. Just, I mean, I don't know if people saw this, but they had 20,000 at the women's hockey league game.
It's
They
awesome.
had 20,000 fans. I mean, it's happening and it's great. For those of you who can't get on board, look, I'm not here to convince you, but you should give it a chance because these games, these women are premier athletes and just proud to work with them and help push the narrative in the right direction. And couldn't be at a better time. Like, you want Caitlin Clark tickets, Jack? Can't get them. Not available.
Listen, yeah, I love to get, I mean, tickets were crazy for the Final Four. And like, I can only imagine what they're like for the WNBA right now. I know you told me that, the tickets there, you're not getting any if you want to go see her play anywhere. And it's going to cost a lot to see her play. So it's, or anybody, because
Not costing me anything.
you told me about Chicago, though, like
Well,
Angel
I mean,
Reese
like
and,
Angel Reese, I mean, all these players that are coming in, it's awesome right now. We got ties back to Cleveland now, with our team. Really proud of that. But if you guys aren't on board, you need to get on board. Season starts mid-May. Our home opener, opening day game is May 15th. There are going to be a lot of nationally televised games over the summer. As the playoffs wind down, I highly encourage all of you to watch on ESPN, ION Sports Network, all that stuff. Please, please, please. If you've not gotten on board, now is the time. I say it all the time. We talk about the 1980s as the golden era for the NBA. I'm telling you guys right now, this is the golden era for the WNBA. And if you're not on board now, you're going to be years behind by the time you realize you need to get on board. And, you know, that's my only spiel for that. And for those of you who didn't like it, I apologize. I'm not here to convince all you. Your opinion is your opinion. I'm just saying from where I'm at, seeing what I'm seeing now, is the time to get on board. But if you don't want to, hey, that's your prerogative, and I respect that. So that's all I'll say.
Without a doubt, like, go out and support women's athletics, whether it's high school, collegiate, pros. Like, these girls are mega talented, and we got to see it on display in Cleveland. And with the WNBA starting, like you said, it, and all the controversy surrounding it about pay and everything, you want women to get better compensated, start tuning in, start going to the games, start supporting them more and more. It'll help a yep. long way. Alex, it's draft week, man. And, you know, like we said, the Browns don't have a first round pick, but we still enjoy the draft. We're loving it. I'm doing mock draft work over at Dogs by Nature. We got your mock, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But the draft, Alex, we know Caleb Williams is going number one, but Ian Rappaport was on Front Office Sports today, which is a daily podcast that they have. This is the quote that I was teasing to you before we hit the record button. He says, there's a lot of things that are unsettled. I have no earthly idea what's going to happen after the first pick in the draft. And we kind of...
And I just ripped up Mach 2.0.
Sorry to do that to you, bud. But the hot rumor now, we kind of thought Jaden Daniels was going to be the second pick in the draft to the Washington Commanders. But then Adam Schefter dropped something on Pat McAfee about how Daniels has interest to go elsewhere. And I know somebody else was on with McAfee. I think it was Peter Schrager. And they had talked about how Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels have a good relationship. Now, Vegas is at pick 13. I think New England loves him. They have the third pick in the draft. So it's like,
yep.
What is going to happen now at pick two? Does Washington still take him? Do they alter course now? Or does Jaden Daniels try to force his way away from Washington? We've seen this with the first pick a couple times, but never with the second pick in the draft. So this is going to be fun Thursday night, because now we really don't know what's going to happen.
I hate you for making me do this live.
Sorry.
But I got a hot take for you. If I'm the Commanders, I get on the phone with Vegas. You want him? Come get him.
Right.
Like, right now. So the Raiders have 13, 44, 77. They have all their picks. So I'm just putting something together. Obviously, you're getting their one next year, 44. We're going to throw in 77. And they give up 100. So let me try this in the calculator, because I actually run the actual, like, one of those trade value calculators that will tell me if I'm on the right track or not. And if it's Washington, I'm going to say it's going to be, I'm going to say 9, because the Giants will be terrible. So Trader B gives 31.65 value. Trader A gives 2,700. So yes, you are giving up more. This is about a correct trade. So 13, 44, 77, and 9 for 2 and 100. So you're getting a one next year, but their first three picks. If I'm Washington, here's what I do. If Jaden Daniels wants to do this so badly, I'm perfectly fine with that. Trade him, go get Michael Penix. The way Michael Penix goes about his business is how I want my quarterback. I, you know what? He could be a bust. That's perfectly fine. And he's a lefty, and he doesn't have the greatest arm strength in the world. I understand all that. But when you see a guy who wakes up in the morning and has the play calls on his mirror written out, that's the guy I want at quarterback. The guy who eats, sleeps, and drinks the playbook. And he is that guy. You know what? I'd rather take the risk on passing on Jaden Daniels, who I think is a one-read QB with elite athleticism, which, yes, he's very much a Lamar Jackson, but how long did it take for Lamar Jackson to become a refined passer? Yes, he was a good passer. What I mean is going off his first read to his second and third reads. It took him a year or two. Do I think Jaden can do it? Yes. Can the Commanders afford that? No, they really can't. Michael Penix is a guy who has shown at Washington he can go through his first, second, and third progressions. Granted, he lost the national championship game, but he beat Texas, which was a very good defense too. We can't discount how good that Texas defense was. If I'm Washington, I really do have a discussion about it. However, I wonder if, you know, they throw a curve on us and pick JJ. Because there were rumors of that going into this week.
And they had all four in Washington at the same time, which I think rifted Jaden Daniels a little bit and his agent.
And here's the thing. That's the kind of stuff that if I'm an evaluator and guys, I've spent my time around people who make these decisions. Those are the kind of personalities you need to have the right chemistry and leadership in. I'm not saying they can't survive. They can. You need the right leadership and you need the right team chemistry. Washington is a very young team with, I believe, a rookie head coach, right?
Yeah. No, Quinn. Dan Quinn.
Oh, okay. Well, you
but
have
a
coach.
A rookie front office, which is on an analytical type movement. So,
and that's kind of where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of tearing apart the whole offense.
Yes.
And rebuilding that. So do you want a guy who is about me, 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 or about we?
Yeah.
I know you want the Frenchman instead, you know. but anyways, I would say that's where the JJ McCarthy, Drake May, Michael Penix stuff picks up more steam. All their reports say they are about the team first. JJ more than anyone. I mean, the reports on JJ, no wonder Michigan won a national championship. There is reason to love this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, to walk into a depleted Michigan program, say to all your recruits, don't come here to party. We're here to win the national championship and back it up. Oh, dude, love that guy forever. But Drake May, very similar, quiet team leader. Michael Penix, quiet team leader. Jaden Daniels is starting to talk a little too much. And he's thinking, oh, I won the Heisman. I'm getting Lamar Jackson comparisons. I can control my destiny. I don't really want to go to Washington. Well, then fine. Don't go to Washington. I think he's a bust. I mean, your top two quarterbacks potentially in this draft, I could argue when it's all said and done, will have lesser careers than the other four or five behind them. And it's definitely plausible because they're all about themselves. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are selfish guys. And look, Caleb has all the physical tools to do it. We've seen it, and he's going to have the weapons. Outside Terry McLaurin, does Jaden really have the weapons? No. And the last time they had a quarterback like him, what happened? Had a great rookie year, blew out his knee, was never the same again.
Yeah.
For me, I've been worried for Washington that they're going down this path again. I can understand them not going Drake May. I think they got to go Penix or JJ. I think that it's obvious they got to go with one of the two. And for me, for Washington, I go with Penix over JJ. I think Penix is more pro-ready. They're trying to win right now with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's going to want a guy who just wakes up in the morning and reads the playbook, and that's Michael Penix. I think he would go with that. And honestly, try to bait him. Try to bait Vegas. You want him? Come get him. New England, you want him? Come get him. We don't care. We'll take who we want. Plain and simple. And I bet you they don't like the fact that this is coming out.
No, I wouldn't think so. I really wouldn't think so. So if there's no trade and say Washington just goes in another direction, takes McCarthy or May, and New England's sitting there at three, obviously new GM Elliott Wolf, new head coach Jerod Mayo, do they take Jaden Daniels in your opinion, or do they go in another direction? And does Jaden Daniels somehow go into like a free fall to where he drops to four or five and a team moves up to get him then?
I think he'll go to New England at that point.
Yeah.
That's why I think they're going to try to bait Vegas to come up.
Yeah.
That's where it's like right now you're starting to see this week. So as the rules go, obviously the week before the draft, the GMs mostly speak, mm-hmm. which obviously whatever they say, take it with a grain of salt. There is some truth to it, but they're not going to tell you everything that happens in the room.
Right.
So yeah, they'll lay some seeds down. Yeah. They'll give you some sound bites and whatever, who cares. What I'm listening for is what's happening this weekend. And when we heard Atlanta might take Michael Penix, I'm hearing Atlanta wants to trade down mm-hmm. with a team that wants a quarterback.
Right.
And then at the same time, you're hearing Liatu Latu is now the betting favorite to go to Atlanta. So don't tell me you want Michael Penix, because we all know you spent all that money on Kirk and you're not doing anything at quarterback. You're not going to waste your time taking Michael Penix.
It means they'd rather take Latu at 13, for instance, instead of 8. So Vegas, come up and get Penix.
Yep. And now with a lot of this Jaden Daniels stuff leaking, mm-hmm. Jaden's now trying to politic his way to where he wants to go.
Yes.
So a lot of what you're hearing right now is the chess playing by the agents and the players, along with the teams that know what's going to happen, who don't need those premier positions. But in this draft, and I've been saying this to you, Jack, the players do not match the value of which teams want to pay to get. There's not enough tape on J.J. McCarthy for you to warrant 3 first-round picks
right.
to go get them. And do I believe Minnesota's going to trade up for a quarterback? Yes. Do I think Jim Harbaugh, spoiler alert, in Mach 2.0, is going to get 3 first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy to go to Los Angeles? No. My trade was very simple. And here's the spoiler. Minnesota trades the number 11 pick for and a 2025 first, just for the number 5 pick. They take their one next year. Minnesota holds on to 23, but Jim gets 2 ones next year and bets that Minnesota's not that good. And then he controls his destiny. I don't agree with Antonio Brown saying that it's Justin Herbert, but, you know.
Go look at the contract, and that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, keep talking. You know, who cares?
God bless that man. He needs some help.
Philly, yeah, I was joking with my Steeler buddy. I said, yeah, because we were joking about Myles Garrett having more playoff wins than TJ Watt with the Cavs. You know, he has that. And he's like, well, how many rings does he have? I said, yeah, well, the Steelers have as many rings as Antonio Brown has severe concussions. Shots fired.
Who was the guy that hit him? Was that perfect?
Yeah, it was perfect.
And it was a down. It's literally, you look from when that hit happened to now, and it's like the downhill spiral.
It's insane.
It is. Since you've already been dropping hints at Mach 2.0, let's go ahead and get to that, and then we'll talk about the Browns and their draft plans.
Yeah. So Mach 2.0. Sorry.
Yep.
Obviously, the Jaden Daniels stuff, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. Do I think he goes to Washington? Probably right now, but looking more and more unlikely as we go. So, obviously, 1, 2, 3, Caleb, Jaden, and Drake May. I'm willing to say that I feel like it's a lock on those three are going to be the picks. I'm willing to say so and bet on it, you know. Put some money on that and see if I can win. It just makes too much sense. Patriots aren't getting the trade offers. I buy that 100%. They're going to try to get what they want, but they're not going to get it. So they'll stay put. They'll take Drake May and be happy with it. Number four, Atlanta taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they will try to trade, but again, those teams are going to be asking for way more than they should. They're not going to get it. And the only one smart enough to know, hey, maybe I don't have to take everything, but I can get the one pick I want, is Jim Harbaugh. And Jim's in kind of like a rebuilding but contending phase.
Yeah.
So that's why I said 11 and a 2025 first for number five is fine while Minnesota takes JJ McCarthy. That makes a lot of sense because if I'm Kwesi, I now sit at 23 and I can either move down later on and get more picks or, you know, I can move up, down, whatever I want to do, or stay put and take the best player available. Spoiler alert, he takes the best player available. So moving on, Malik Nabers going to the Giants. I feel like they're going to go get a wide out at this point. Last LSU wide receiver worked out well for them, so why not do it again? Joe Alt out of Notre Dame going to the Titans. Dallas Turner goes to Alabama, though I will buy the Liatu Latu rumors the more I think about it. I am going much lower, but I do think he could go top 10. There's always that one edge rusher. Romo Dunze to the Bears. We said it last mock. Keenan Allen, last year of his contract. Perfect situation for Romo Dunze. No pressure. Get your core built. Jets, Brock Bowers, that's a no-doubter pick. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to kill people, you know. He's going to make vaccine comments if they don't take him.
Oh, he made comments last week about another
he's going to say, are we vaccinated against taking receivers for me? That's a good question, Aaron. We'll look into that for you. The Chargers take Olu Fanashu out of Penn State to tackle. Denver takes Jared Verse, the edge out of Florida State. Quinion Mitchell to the Las Vegas Raiders. I still write down Oakland. How crazy is that, Jack? I still have it written as Oakland.
Every once in a while, I'll drop a San Diego Chargers. So
it's okay. Insane.
Yeah, it is.
The New Orleans Saints take Tyleese Fuaga out of Oregon State, the tackle. Indianapolis takes Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Seattle, I started at this point looking at and seeing who's visiting who to make a kind of a guess.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing the 48-hour rule, so I'm going to take as much info as I can get. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, has visited with them. I very much believe that would be a guy that makes a lot of sense. They need a center, interior guys, so why not? Jacksonville going with Troy Fautanu. Man, that sounds like a song. What would Troy Fautanu do if he were here right now? Do you know that?
No.
South Park the movie? What would Brian Boitano were here right now? Yeah. Anyway,
it's been a minute since I seen that movie.
But also Troy has visited the Jaguars, which I found that intriguing, but he projects anywhere on the line. So that's where I think Jacksonville probably takes him to be a guard, maybe. The Bengals rush to the podium, take J.C. Latham out of Alabama. They need some help on the line. Definitely would be a help there. Adarius Mims to the Rams, meaning the Steelers get Brian Thomas Jr. at 20, which is just robbery. Though I'm going to say this caveat, and I said it before the pod when we recorded. I am willing to say it's still possible. We see an A.J. Brown. Yeah, I know, right? I'm mixing them up now.
He's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back. Yeah, he's going to the Steelers now. He's betraying the Bengals. But A.J. Brown type trade on draft day where the Steelers trade 20 and get Brandon Ayuk to pair up with Pickens, which just that would be a nightmare. But Brian Thomas would be a heck of a get.
In that scenario, real quick, if say Pittsburgh trades 20 to San Francisco for Brandon Ayuk, who would San Francisco take in your opinion in that scenario? Would they take Brian Thomas to like replenish the wide receiver room, or just
possibly looking at the board, maybe Graham Barton? They need O-line help.
Yes.
Byron Murphy's on the board. I feel like that's too good of a value. I mean, even Terrion Arnold's on the board. But I would agree. I think they would go with Brian Thomas Jr. They just reset the clock and take the best receiver they get. Ladd McConkey makes a ton of sense there.
Yes.
Oh my God, that he fits beautiful. Oh God, that needs to happen. Oh Lord. Brock Purdy throwing it. Oh my God. That's not fair.
Right.
That's a perfect fit. George Kittle acting as Brock Bowers with Ladd McConkey on one side and Debo. Oh my gosh, they're going back to the Super Bowl then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh. All right, Miami at 21, Liatu Latu can go anywhere in terms of eight to this point. I don't think he gets by this point. Eagles get Terrion Arnold. What a steal there. And the Vikings rush to the podium and get Byron Murphy. Because by God, Kwesi deserves the gold medal for that. Zerhan Newton, Jerzon Newton, sorry. I don't know. Out of Illinois goes to the Cowboys. And then Tyler Guyton to the Packers. And then we do have a trade with Tampa Bay, trading with the Raiders. They trade 44, a third this year, and a third next year to move up and get Michael Penix Jr. Then the Cardinals take Graham Barton out of Duke. The Bills take Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. And then Detroit trades out of the first round with Denver. Denver acquires 29 in exchange for 76 and a 2025 second round pick and take Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. They need to take somebody. They can't go with Jared Stidham. They can't. You can't go into the year with them. Unless if you are openly tanking for a quarterback, and if you think that's Quinn Ewers, more power to you. Or if you think it's Shedeur Sanders on your back porch, you know, okay, fine. Let's see if Deion even wants him to play for you.
There's conspiracies out there.
Yeah, Deion's going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos next year.
There's the Dallas rumor, too.
We'll see.
Yep.
I mean, that would be an idea, trading Dak to Denver. Ooh,
yeah.
That's a hell of an idea. Baltimore gets Nate Wiggins, the big physical athletic cornerback out of Clemson. I know he's got character issues, but I do want to say for record, this is the type of move that Baltimore always makes that they somehow make pan out in their culture. So I feel like the rich get richer there. Kool-Aid McKinstry going to San Francisco. I love his name so much. And then with 32, Jack, the Chiefs take Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we do have a second round, and it starts with the other guy who's fast because Caroline takes Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. Ladd McConkey goes to the Patriots because if that ain't the most Patriots wide receiver known to man, I don't know what is.
Boston Connor will be ecstatic Friday night on Pat McAfee.
Zach Frazier, the center, going to the Cardinals. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona to the Commanders.
Ooh, good pick.
Roman Wilson reuniting with Jim Harbaugh in L.A. That you could almost lock that pick in. 37 Charger. If you were to ask me, Alex, what is one pick that isn't top 10 that you're willing to put $10, even though it's like 1,000 to 1 chances on right now? I put $100 on Roman Wilson going 37 to the Los Angeles Chargers. It's almost a sure bat.
Even if they take a wide receiver at 5?
I think they're trading down.
Okay.
I think they're trading down or they're taking a lineman at 5. Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. He needs an O-line. He's going to take a lineman early. And I think in return, he knows he's going to get Roman Wilson, 37, who understands the offense, who can fit in beautifully, who can be a deep ball threat for Justin Herbert. He's a perfect fit. He's a perfect fit for what he needs to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes too much sense. 38, Chop Robinson going to the Tennessee Titans. Peyton Wilson going 39, the Carolina Panthers, which I'm just going to say on paper, to walk away with Wilson and Worthy after not having a first is actually really good.
That is really good.
That's like almost.
They need all the good luck they can get, honestly.
Yeah. The Commanders get Adisa Isaac out of Penn State, the other edge rusher. The Packers take Braden Fisk out of Florida State. There's no way he's making it to the Browns, even though I want it to happen.
I don't think the Browns would take him anyways.
But that's a mistake.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. The Texans take Mike Sainstrill, cornerback Michigan. Atlanta takes Enos Rigstraw Jr., cornerback Missouri. The Buccaneers take Jatavion Sanders, tight end, Texas. I mean, you got to get him more weapons, and you got to get rookie contracts on some of these weapons, so they need to start doing that. The Saints take Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. The Colts taking Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Tyler Newbin, the safety, going to the Giants, followed by Javon Bullard out of Georgia, the safety, going to the Jags. The Cincinnati Bengals take, God damn it, Chris Jenkins. My heart broke. I couldn't do it.
It happens every
year. Why, Alex?
It happens every year.
He's perfect.
The Bengals,
he's everything
Ravens,
I could dream.
And Steelers take players that we want.
Why must you do this to me, God? This isn't fair. And then the Eagles take Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. The Steelers take Kinsley I can't even pronounce it, out of BYU.
No.
The tackle.
No.
They need a lineman. They walk away with Brian Thomas and Kingsley. I'm done. I'm done.
Take Tavondre Sweat and make him a lineman.
Yeah, well.
Don't you dare.
No.
Oh, it's good. Alex.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea,
it's
though.
It's a horrible idea.
Put him at guard.
Okay. Not for us, though.
Not for us. Right. I didn't say for us.
Oh, okay.
Jarius Robinson out of Missouri going to the Rams. That makes too much sense. Jalen Polk goes to the Eagles at 53.
Okay.
So, before we get into this pick, all the running backs are available. So that means Jonathan Brooks is available. Orohoro is on the board. Patrick Paul on the board. Malachi Corley on the board. Jonah Ellis, if you want to go edge, on the board.
Yeah.
There are some options. However, with the 54th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select wide receiver Keon Coleman, Florida State. It was between Patrick Paul and Keon Coleman for me. And I really struggled between the two because Paul fits the need right now. I think he could be left tackle tomorrow. However, I think the Browns are fine with riding it out with Wills and taking a developmental type and addressing this next year.
Or later.
Well, I meant addressing it in later.
Yeah.
But
I meant later in the draft.
Well, I said developmental being like 5th, 6th, 7th round pick.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think the Browns are more inclined to do that and kind of punt on the idea until the money is off the books so they can figure out everything, free agency, yada, 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 next year, so they can build a proper team. Fine. I'm good with that. The Browns have lacked a big physical wide receiver who can be a difference maker like Coleman. And Coleman's a big dude.
Yes.
I mean, this is a guy that is, what, 6'5"?
6'3".
Like, okay, 6'3". Oh, wait, that's Johnny Davis. It's 6'5", yeah. Isn't it? That's yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Johnny, that's right.
Future tight end.
Oh, Johnny, Johnny Wilson, my bad.
Johnny Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Oh, he's 6'7". Shoot. Okay. Yeah, future sometimes tight end. There's so many guys. There's so many different builds. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. And now the names are starting to intertwine in themselves. I've been doing this so long, the names are now intertwining. Oh, my God. I think there's a Johnny Davis who's a corner out of Penn State this year that I'm confusing him with.
Johnny Dixon.
It's Johnny Dixon. Okay. See, they're all mixing. They're all mixing together
now. Pretty bad when I know draft names better than you.
But here's the thing. I've been doing this 20 years almost.
I know.
And they're all mixing in together.
I've been also doing mock drafts in September, so I have a good idea on the guys.
Yeah, I've been doing other mock drafts.
Yeah, I know.
But looking at the guardrails, looking at all of this, I mean, this is a guy that can be a huge difference maker for the Browns.
Yes.
I mean, you look at this, 87 targets, 50 catches, 11 TDs last year. Yes, he hasn't gotten over 800 yards in a season at Florida State. Mind you, it's Florida State. I also believe that Deshaun Watson is going to play a very big hand in this pick. So I think he's going to say, I don't have a guy like him. I need a guy like him. Can you make it work? Yeah, we scouted him. Yeah, we like him. Okay, we're going to do it. Yeah, sure, let's do it. And they'll take Coleman. So that's why I think the Browns will do at this moment in time. It could change. Mm-hmm. I think Malachi Corley is definitely in play as the other wide receiver, and I know they've brought him in, so there's real interest there.
Yes.
So I think it's more so they don't expect Coleman to be there, especially with the guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll happily take him, but I think they're perfectly fine taking Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky and seeing what happens there. So be ready for that. To finish it off, Christian Haynes, guard, Connecticut, goes to Miami. Jonathan Brooks, the running back, goes to Dallas. I mean, they need to take a running back. I love Deuce Vaughn, but you need a real back there. You really do. I mean, the guys you have aren't going to get the job done. Jonah Ellis going to the Buccaneers, the edge out of Utah. Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State, going to the Packers. The Texans getting Ruke Orohoro out of Clemson. The Bills get Patrick Paul out of Houston. The Lions get TJ Tampa, Iowa State. The Ravens get Malachi. I really hope this means, because I had the bravery to mock all this, they go the complete opposite direction now.
Yeah.
Because I finally let bias step aside and just did it.
Yeah.
Blake Fisher tackled Notre Dame to the 49ers, and Chris Braswell, edge out of Bama, goes to the Chiefs.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah. I'm a madman, Jack. Yeah.
I know you are. I've known you for a long time.
I'm psycho. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I just want to say this. I tried. And Jack knows. I like going for crazy. And also, at this time, I like going for accuracy, although I like to have fun with my mocks. I want to say this for the record. This is a very hard draft for me to mock, because the majority of the depth in the first round is at line.
Mm-hmm.
No one trades up for line. No one ever does. Unless if it's to jump a team that's getting arguably the best guy in the draft, which... Once Joe Alt and Olufanashu go off the board, no one's trading up for the others. I just don't see it. You're trading up for the quarterbacks, or you're trading up for the wide receivers at the back end of the first round, trying to jump New England, trying to jump Carolina, trying to jump these teams in the second round that need a wide receiver. San Francisco makes a ton of sense just to move down a couple slots with the team that desperately needs a wide receiver and let them come up and get them.
Yep.
It's possible all these things can happen, but I'm not going to sit here and say I think there are going to be five trades in the 20s. Can there? I think the potential's there, but you rarely see that. So anything that says, you know, the amount of draft day trades, I think, Jack, you said the over under day one's like 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, unless it says draft day, so I'm assuming it's the first round, but on DraftKings, the over under's 5.5, 6.5. I'd have to look again, but it was around
that
number.
Has to be day one. And if it's 6.5, hit that under. Hit that under and make your money. I mean, there's no way. There's no way there are more than that. I just don't see it.
Right.
I don't see the room for it. So good luck with that. But it's going to be one of those drafts where we think trades could happen, but they don't.
Right.
Because there's just no demand. So there you go. There's Mock 2.0.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Let's talk Browns. Obviously, this is the Browns podcast. So they're at pick 54. You had Keon Coleman. Spoiler alert. You know, when my mock comes out tomorrow on Dogs by Nature, which I got to work on once we're done recording. I've done the mock. I just got to do the write-up. I have Xavier Leggett. I don't know if he's going to fall there. That's just the way the simulator went. Alex, when I look at this draft right now, the depth at wide receiver, the depth at offensive tackle, I think that needs to be the first two picks for the Browns, whether it's at 54 and 85 or whether they move up and down the board. I just think with the depth in the class, the future of the position groups with the team, that's what they need to address, I think, on day two of the draft, is to come away with potentially the left tackle of the future and another wide receiver to pair up with Jerry Jeudy and potentially Amari Cooper.
I would also throw a defensive tackle in there, depending on how the board shakes up.
Yes.
The more I look at this defensive tackle class, and people say I'm a hater of Ohio State. No, I'm not. Recent years have shown that Ohio State players aren't translating into the NFL. I don't like Michael Hall. I don't see it in Michael Hall. I think he's a rotational guy at best. I don't think he's a starter. I know there are a lot of Browns fans who want him. Good for you. I don't see it. This defensive tackle class is extremely weak. Like, after the first three or four are off the board, like once a Rojo is off the board, I'm fine with not taking a single one this year. I'm fine with it. We'll go to undrafted free agents. Let's go there. We'll find one there. I'm good with that. Find one that doesn't get drafted. Focus on everything else. So I think if a Chris Jenkins falls, if Braden Fisk falls, or Orohoro is on the board, you have to have a long conversation about that.
Yeah.
Because the depth absolutely sucks. Now, in terms of wide receiver, it really gets weak after the third, fourth round, once you get into the Braden Rice and Luke McCaffrey types. That's where we start to get really weak in here. And Cornelius Johnson, who I would say, if he's there in round five, I'll do everything I can to get him. I think he's one of those underutilized wideouts that no one really knows what he is, and someone's going to turn him into at least a wide receiver two, you know, probably not wide receiver one, but wide receiver two. After the first two, three rounds, there isn't really a wide receiver worth taking. And the same can be said at tackle. Like, we talk about your guy out of Missouri, Foster. Everyone's saying he's going round three. Well, then, you know,
I haven't seen him go round three in a mock. I mean, I'd have to deep dive into it, but
well, What's his name from the Senior Bowl is
he's hyping Nagy. Up his guys. That's fine.
Yeah, but I am very worried that you're prioritizing the wrong positions at the wrong times, which is why, you know, most of my mocks, if I were to really do things the way I wanted to, I do everything I can to get an early four in a trade down.
Yeah.
You don't have a fourth round pick, and there is going to be somebody who slips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is. It's definitely not going to be a defensive tackle, but it could be a wide receiver or a lineman. And granted, if you move down from 54, that means you're giving up on defensive tackle. And truthfully, I'm fine with that. If you like an edge guy in those first three picks that you can add to your ever-growing rotational, you know, group, I'm fine with that approach. Or if you're getting a guard as well as a tackle, like a Zach Zinter, like a Keegan, you know, Trevor Keegan out of Michigan, one of those two, because they produce interior linemen, and you're moving on from Wyatt Teller in the future, now I can understand how you're going about your business in terms of roster construction.
Yeah.
So that's where at 54 it gets tricky, and we don't know how the board's going to fall. What do I think they're going to end up doing? I think they're going to go wide receiver because that's what Deshaun wants. He needs another weapon. He needs more weapons. He probably believes he can get away with the line because he's had a lot worse in Houston, so he can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle, if they even tell him they're doing that, Deshaun's going to be like, nope, not going to happen.
Right.
Unless if it's someone he knows is a stud that he can't deny them the opportunity to take him. I also think linebacker would be something they'd look at, but you can get that later.
You get that later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, that's if they move back, I say they move back from 85, peel back some spots, pick up an extra four. Plus, because I don't like that 71 pick gap that they have between 85 and 156. You can get potentially like Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. That's a guy I like. Yep. I think you could get him late third in that fourth round. That could really help that linebacker room. I know people are going to bang the drum for Tommy Eichenberg, but he's older. I don't think the Browns do that in the fourth round. But if they get Trevin Wallace, or if they wait till like the fifth round, there's some names there. There's some options sure, like a Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State. But yeah, I think linebacker is definitely in play.
And the one thing I would say for the Browns' sake is do not be surprised, because I run this in PFF all the time,
mm-hmm.
that the Browns trade out completely of the second round. Do not be surprised if they trade, because like I just threw one up and the Giants are calling and you're dropping 16 spots. But if it means I get three, your four, which is an early four, and a future three,
mm-hmm.
if it means I got to swap a pick, because you have a bunch of later picks next year to work with.
Yes.
You have 3 sixes and 2 sevens. You have the ability to maneuver with those picks next year by just swapping rounds.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, I will happily trade down 16 spots and get, you know, Jeremiah Trotter, get Orohoro if he's on the board, get one of the remaining wide receivers if they're on the board. Like, we'll do this in a moment, but like, I just look at the trades. I mean, New York's the one that keeps coming up the most, but I'm just going to throw this up right now. 34% chance to be accepted, and they already accepted. Boom. And guess who's on the board? Orohoro. I can't say it ever right, but you want to know what? He's on the board.
It's one of the names.
I know. And you're looking at the board. He's on the board. Jermaine Burton, Devontae Walker, Johnny Wilson. You have some running backs as well. At that point, and you even have Chris Braswell on the board, which I would have a long conversation about, but you get your defensive tackle. Wow. You just trade down 16 spots and got a future three. And by the way, now I have 70, 85, 107. three picks out of the next 35 at that point. You can start doing things there. And even, and I would even say this, with the pick at 105, you know how much flexibility you now have at 86?
85.
If the picks are 85, if the pick doesn't go your way, like now you can say, well, you know what? Because like on the board, the Yale tackles off the board. You have Brandon Coleman, Blake Fisher, Dominic Pooney. I think you at that point say, you know what? We're going to take our guy here. Maybe we'll take a wide receiver next if there's one we like. Because like I'm just going to do this for fun. We'll do our own here in a second. So we get there. Jalen McMillan's on the board. And I don't know if he fits what they need. He kind of does, but is he special? I mean, Malik Washington, too's on the board, but he's on the older side and smaller. Would the Browns do that? Or would they trade out of that and find a team that's willing to come up and give him maybe an early four and a four the following year, or an early four and a five and a future pick the next year, and five next year, you swap five and six the next year and start rebuilding how many picks you have this year. Cause you've turned from what, six to now, let's say I trade from 85 and I get one more. Now I have actually in total eight picks this year. I start from six, now I'm at eight. Now I'm back to a normal draft. And with a team like Andrew Berry and company, they've done well drafting. They've done well at this. I have no problems with them moving down. Move down a million times. If you know what you're doing, you're going to find those players no matter what. You can trade down until the fifth round, but as long as you have a profile and you match them and you get it to work, you're going to hit every single time. Just saying.
For sure. You're not wrong. It's going to be interesting to see how the Browns attack this, because Barry said he's going to try to not trade out of the second round. He told Tony Grossi that. But we know if the offers come, Barry's not afraid to make a
break. Yeah, you want to know what? When he says that to Tony Grossi, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing him say, I know you're going to complain like an old man.
Yes.
But you want to know what? You're not the GM. I'm way smarter than you. And I'm probably going to trade out of the second round. You're going to complain. But you want to know what? I'm going to get more picks, which you don't like. And you're not going to like who I take at first. But then halfway through the year, when those guys are hits, you're going to be saying, you know what? He's kind of a smart guy. I trust him, yada, yada, yada. And all is forgiven.
Yep.
It's an endless cycle. Grossi complains about it. Then it looks good, but he still won't he'll still complain. And then at the very end, he'll say, you know what? I was wrong. Yeah.
Yep. Look at
he's done a good job.
Martin Emerson will be the prime example. They moved back. Everybody was upset. They took a corner and everybody's like, what are the Browns doing? He ends up being one of the best defensive players on the Browns roster now. So think these guys know what they're doing, Alex.
And they know the board well enough to know how it's going to fall. You know they knew how the board was going to fall. Outside of Jalen Hyatt maybe jumping, you know, they knew how it was going to fall for them. They knew DeJuan Jones was going to fall. They knew that. They knew Isaiah McGuire was going to be there in the fourth round.
Yep.
They knew all of this. So for you guys going like, because I'm going to tell you something, Jack. I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit.
Okay. Make it. Let's go.
Do you know how many mock drafts any team in professional sports does?
They
before
do some.
A draft?
They do some.
They do a lot.
Yeah.
They make sure they are prepared with all the information they have.
Yes.
Because teams will know who teams are picking before them. Mm-hmm. They know beforehand.
Yeah.
They know what they're looking for.
They run through countless scenarios.
I'm going to tell you something off air that I can't say on air that's going to blow your mind.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe not, but I think it's going to blow your mind. But these people know what everyone's going to do. They know. Just saying. Let's go. Let's get into this. Let's get into this, Jack. Our favorite time.
All righty. You good with how I got it set up?
Yeah.
All right. We are doing a mock draft simulator on this episode, and we're doing another one tomorrow or on the next episode with Anthony. Myself and Anthony will do so.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Good. I'm glad you're going to enjoy it.
Just like Lindor at the plate, I enjoy it.
All right. What? If you need me to stop it at all, let me know.
No, we're not stopping because I'm not moving up.
Okay.
I'm not moving up in this draft at all. There's no one to move up for.
All right. So real quick.
This sucks.
The five picks beforehand. Bengals take TJ Tampa. Eagles get Xavier Worthy at 50, which is a great steal for the freaking Eagles. The Steelers take Kamari Lassiter, the corner from Georgia. The Rams take Michael Penix Jr. at pick 52.
That makes a lot of sense.
And the Eagles double up and get more weapons for Jalen Hurts. They get Jatavion Sanders to pair up with Dallas Goedert, which...
Who's calling? Who's calling us?
Yes.
I hate what's on the board.
So we're on the clock at 54. We have two trade options, the Packers and the Raiders at 77. Best on the board is Devon Bullard, Blake Corum, Jaden Hicks, Jonah Ellis, my guy Kieran at tackle. Yeah, this is
Kingsley is low
in the PFF community.
I know. And I know Patrick's probably there too.
Okay. So the Packers and the Raiders.
Okay. Hold on. I want it with the tackles there. It's probably wiser to discuss with the Packers.
Yes, because we can move back and still get a tackle.
The question is, okay, 54, 58. I would like 91 somehow.
13% chance. But we can pick, Alex, I don't know if they're going to take six draft picks. So we can probably take one of those seventh rounders and maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like throw in one of the seventh rounds, see if they do it. Yeah, let's start 243. I don't want that one. Or 227, up to you. One of the last two.
It's still not good. 26% chance.
Yeah, I've seen lower percentages get made. Just saying.
I mean, these six round picks are.
I wouldn't touch those right now. I would start with 243 right now and go from there because you get four chances. They're going to accept. Yeah, they are.
All right. So we traded 54 and 243 to Green Bay for 58 and 91. So
I know what I'm doing, AB.
Okay. So Darius Robinson.
Blake Corum. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The Miami took Kieran from Yale. Dallas took Jonah Ellis and Tampa took Marshawn Nealon.
Just for shits and giggles, show me the wide receiver room right now.
Okay. Malachi Corley.
I mean, I can see it. Yeah. Scroll down. I want to see all the tackles. Is he on the board? Patrick Paul. He is.
101. Who do you like better, Patrick Paul or Kingsley?
I think from an athletic standpoint, I like Paul better.
And I have Jack Duffin's board up, by the way.
Thank you. That helps me, actually.
And this is the people that fit the guardrails. Because
where is Paul?
He's old.
Oh.
You're getting Kingsley, who's 2 years younger.
Yeah, but... And the thing that bugs me with Kingsley, is it Kingsley or Kieran?
Kingsley. Kieran doesn't have a Roz score.
No, is Kingsley off the ball or is it board or is it Kieran?
Kingsley is on the board right here.
Oh, that we take Kingsley. Oh, hey, I'm sorry.
No,
sorry.
You're fine.
I thought it was Kieran. Oh my God.
We took Kingsley how do you say his name?
I'm not even attempting.
Kingsley Suamatia.
Oh God! If Spencer Rattler was on the board here, I'd have a long discussion.
Okay, so we are at 85 now. Trey Benson, Spencer Rattler, Kalen Bullock, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, who I never heard of until like last week. He came out of nowhere. But
Just
these are the
like an
best guys on the
RKO.
board. Yep. Kyrie
What's a
Jackson is there.
what wide Malik? No.
Malik. Cooper Beebe. If you want to double up, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is there at linebacker.
So I do think Trotter will be there six picks later. I'm not dig. Who are the teams calling about the pick? Because Benson would be my pick right now.
So we got the Patriots at 103, Giants at 107, Vikings, Jets, Eagles.
Let me see the Patriots picks.
Patriots took Neighbors at 3. And they took Newbin at 34, so they could be.
They're coming up for a D lineman or.
They're coming
a
up for a quarterback because they haven't drafted one yet, Alex.
This is the team we talked to. 103 and a third next year. Let's see how that looks.
9%.
Throw in a 6 next year. We'll swap picks. Let's see if that works.
Boom.
Damn right it does.
85 and a 6th round pick from New England or to New England for 103 and their third rounder next year.
Yes, I'm loving this draft already.
And I don't think they took a quarterback. Yes, they did. They took Spencer Rattler. So we're
that's why they're willing to give up the 3. It's Spencer Rattler.
We're at 91. We got Eric All, who the Browns have visited.
Yeah, but his injury history just leaves me so concerned.
Yes. And he doesn't fit the guardrails.
No, he doesn't. Send this to me, by the way. I know Duffin's not going to complain.
Yeah,
send this to me afterwards so I can
of course
read it. Sorry, Duffin. You should have sent this to me a long time ago. I think we'd take Trotter at this point.
I was
going to
say, I would take Jeremiah Trotter.
Yeah, you sprint to the podium. And now we sit at 105.
103.
103, I'm sorry. Oh, God.
Well, I know who I'd take. I know.
Oh
I'd
my
take.
God. Sanat on the board. Oh,
take him.
Let's go.
All right,
let's go.
Ben Sanat, tight end, Kansas State.
Let's just destroy everybody right now. My God. Who needs a wide receiver when you got Sanat and Njoku? Okay, cool. I would lean towards a linebacker, but I don't know much about Cedric right now. By the way, for the record, Dalen Hooker, you goober. And I was, no, Zach Zinner was on the board, so we're taking Zach Zinner. We're just saying we took Zach Zinner, okay?
I hit a button and took a random running back.
I found my Wyatt Teller replacement. I'm good. He's redshirted this year, but Zinner next year easily moves in. Honestly, I'm going to say this for record. If the Browns can get him in the fourth, fifth round, Zach Zinner, if he can return healthy and you redshirt him.
He replaces Wyatt Teller. Or Joel Batonio.
No, he replaces Batonio.
Okay.
He's that good. I don't know much about these guys. So it's more so by position. I do like Jordan Jefferson. I did like his combine.
He's got a good athletic score.
Yeah, well, I did like his combine performance too. Nice. And have we taken a defensive tackle? No.
We have not.
Take him. Take him. I got linemen, and more linemen. Oy.
Emani Bailey is a guy that the Browns visited with.
I know. I've watched him at TCU. He's solid. I know you want to take Frank Gore Jr. I know you're in love with them.
The bloodlines.
I mean, raise your ones to the sky. Jesus.
I like Devon Shire. I bet he's there at 243. He's a guy I took during the mocks during the college season. Good.
Okay.
So, I mean,
we'll wait and see if he's there because
Jaquan Hardy's also another option there.
We'll take a corner after the fact.
I don't know what to do here.
I was going to say, do you want to take Brock Lesnar's son? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're not taking Crum. We're not taking our lineman.
Can never have enough.
It's Brock's son, guys. Is there a linebacker at all? There was one out of Texas, which honestly I'm not opposed
to. He's not a great athlete. Or no, wait, say, he actually might be. Hold on.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's at Texas. He better be.
Well, there's that Ulu Foshio. Jalen Ford, 8.3 Rise.
Who is the highest out of the group on that list?
Jalen Ford.
Let's take Jalen Ford is?
Yeah, let's take him.
Yeah. Need to address it.
And then
we'll go with the corner, see if they're there. I think they just both went.
That was our last pick.
Yeah, they just our last pick. Okay.
Because we traded. I forgot.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
So Zach Zinner is replacing
Jaden Sheridan from Malmö.
Yeah, that you clicked on.
All right, so our final results here are the mock draft. And sorry for the chaos. This is what happens when we get into simulator mode. The Browns trade down from 54 to 58, pick up an extra third rounder, take Kingsley, the tackle from BYU. At pick 91, we took Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker out of Clemson. Pick 103, which we picked up in another trade down from 85 to 103 with the Patriots. We took Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State. Fifth round, we took Zach Zinner. I accidentally clicked on a running back from Monmouth. Sixth round, Jordan Jefferson, defensive tackle out of LSU. And our last pick at 227, because we moved 243 in the trade down with Green Bay, we took Jalen Ford, linebacker, Texas.
Alex, we did make one mistake. I forgot about Trotter with all the chaos that you created.
We need linebackers, though.
We do, but I could have
JOK.
I could have gone with Frank Gore Jr. Honestly,
that's fine.
He was there. It just goes, and we do need linebackers. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. By the way, PFF, when you say we don't like you pick Ben Sinnott when there is a need and you're saying, oh, draft your sixth safety on the roster, you're not doing us any favors.
Right.
Screw you.
Right. Like, yes, safety could be a need for the future, but
it's not a now need.
It's not a position group that Barry really fixates on in the draft. Like, we hit the positions that he normally targets in this draft. In the drafts. Linebacker, tight end, tackle, defensive tackle. Like, but yeah. So this is gonna be a fun week, Alex. I can't wait. Draft's almost here. I mean, it's gonna be a good time, man.
Yeah, and then I just have chaos the next week. I don't even get a down week. Is it October yet? Actually, I'm sorry, November yet? When I can actually take a vacation.
You mean come home for the World Series parade?
What do you mean? I'm going to be there for game six when we win.
16-6, baby. We're on fire.
I mean, we are so back. It's not even funny right now. Y'all just don't even know. Guards are on fire.
Have you seen the meme that's going around?
Of Naylor bashing his head.
Well, besides that, it's from MLB memes. It says, they say money can't buy happiness. And it's from a post on Twitter where the guy says $1 billion versus the power of friendship and smiles. And it shows the Dodgers record at 12-11 and our Cleveland Guardians with a 16-6 record.
I mean, look, we cut money and we're 16-6.
I can say
I truly am giving this team my vote of confidence.
We trust the process here.
Damn right we do, and we are taking Charlie Condon or Travis Bazzana number one. If we don't, I will tell Chris personally.
I can't wait to see you on draft night on the MLB Network.
Just going to be like, when they take Bazzana or Condon, I'll be like, yeah, let's go. And they're going to be like, why is this dude fired up? Like, and then if they say JJ Weatherholt, thumbs down, Chris.
Yep.
You done bleeped up again.
Don't fail us, Antonetti.
No, they won't. They won't. By all accounts, it's Condon or Bazzana.
Yes.
Maybe Nick Kurtz is in the picture. But I think it's one of those three. Maybe Montgomery, but I think it'll be Bizzana based on signing bonus. They have $18 million to work with, and the number one pick is valued at about $10 million. So every dollar counts when you have the number one pick. And people are going to sit here and say, that shouldn't be a reason why you don't pick Charlie Condon number one. Well, what if I told you they saved, I don't know, $1 million to give to the next pick who should have been a top 20 pick when you have the 30-some pick in the draft in that competitive balance round, and you use that money on that guy. And then all of a sudden, you have two top 20 players. And you can say, but we didn't get the number one player. Well, if Bizzana becomes what people think, you may have walked out brilliantly, because if we look at Jeff Ellis, and this is the last I'll do on baseball, you're talking about possibility of Travis Bizzana, who would be probably a center fielder, and Mike Sirota, those two together. We were talking about Mike Sirota at 8 if we didn't win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about him at 8, and you're telling me there is a possibility Mike Sirota would be the pick after we take Bizzana number one? Oh, my God. Just not checkers, guys.
Yep.
Just not checkers. Don't even try me. I'm for taking Charlie Condon. I am. I just like both. I trust them. They'll pick one of the two.
Yeah, I do too. I like Bizzana, but I could see why people would love Condon.
Well,
the way
the
he
question,
is fucking mashing the ball right now.
Well, the question is, and the reason you don't take Bizzana is if you don't think he's going to be a center fielder, which he's more athletic than Tyler Freeman and a better hitter than Tyler Freeman. So that tells me if he's more athletic, he's going to adapt. So I say you take Bizzana and let him learn. But if you don't think that, you rush to the podium and you take Charlie Condon, talk to his agent and say, look, we're not giving him the full $10 million. We're not. We'll give him about 9.5. We'll save a little bit. Take it, please. And if he says yes, fine. Take him. Take him. I'll be
For
fine
sure.
With it.
For sure. Well, we hope you all enjoyed our WNBA talk, our NFL draft talk, and our MLB draft talk. You guys can follow Alex at the CLE Sports Guy. Check out the Bulking Up podcast.
Which I don't know
is,
when I'm posting another.
It's fine. It's fine. It's also on our old podcast, The Top Dogs feed. So go back in there, listen to our archive, because we did that pod for a couple years.
Yeah, my NL Cy Young pick is already in the garbage.
A lot of pitchers in the garbage. That's a whole nother discussion for another day.
I know.
But,
I know. I'm just saying, if you listen, I'm sorry. I didn't know his arm was going to fall off.
Right. We got Tristan McKenzie out there with a torn ligament. It's crazy time in baseball. But in the meantime, guys, follow me, Jack McCurry 08, the Dogland at the Dogland on all social media platforms. Anthony and I will be back later this week, getting y'all ready for the draft and then reacting to what the Browns ultimately do. So until next time, as always, go Browns.